Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. Buying a house can be stressful. Buying an expensive house is even more stressful. And in the Bay Area, well, you really can't avoid either factor. Every quarter or so, the real estate headlines come out with eye-popping prices for Bay Area homes. There's San Francisco, then there's Manhattan, and then there's pretty much everybody else. So, especially when the volume of home sales kind of slows down during the winter, a popular guessing game for dinner parties becomes, how much is my home worth this week? Coming up, we have a real estate analyst who ran some tongue-in-cheek numbers about the rate of return if you invested about $150,000 in 2011 in different things. $150,000 in 2011 is about a 20% down payment on a San Francisco house. But maybe you put that in gold or soybeans, maybe some Facebook stock. Where's the hottest return?
Besides the investment return on your cash down payment, your monthly housing costs becomes less and less of a percentage of the market rate rent.
Here's my chat with the chief analyst at Paragon Real Estate based in San Francisco.
Patrick Carlisle, chief market analyst at Paragon Real Estate Group.
Patrick, thank you for your time today. It's been a while since we last spoke. I'm sorry for that, but I'm also kind of happy looking at this fresh report you have. It was on the total appreciation on all cash purchases. Can you help us kind of understand that, put that in context for us before we get into the numbers?
Yeah, this was something I put together kind of in a lighthearted mode, though it does have some pretty spectacular results. And what I did is I did an analysis of a variety of different investments if you had bought them in 2011 and sold them in 2016. And I looked at the median San Francisco house as well as things like gold, soybeans, Apple stock, Google stock, and Facebook stock. And I compared the returns on investment over that five-year period.
Okay. And there's a chart that we will be sharing and a link that we'll get out on at KGO Jason, my Twitter account. We'll also put it on Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio so we can point people to your full report. I'm looking at the bar graph, and I'm seeing that if I put my money in 2011 into gold, as often as you hear that's a solid investment, it didn't fare quite as well, did it?
Bad time for gold and soybeans. You really should have sold a couple years ago, Jason.
I tend to buy and hold. I'm just a sucker that way because gold lost 18% over that five-year period, according to your math.
That's right.
And then we compare that to, let's go right to the housing situation. San Francisco housing is a national headline. Everybody knows that it's the most expensive place in the country to live. Sometimes it trades places with places around Manhattan. But how did it look in 2011 when it comes to cash with a house in San Francisco?
Well, paying all cash, the median sales price of a San Francisco house appreciated 92% over since 2011. Now, 2011 was the bottom of the market, and anytime you're looking at investment returns, it all depends on the purchase and sale dates you pick.
Right.
So picking 2011 certainly looks good for real estate because that is when the recovery started in San Francisco home prices.
Man, talk about buy low, sell high. Jeez.
Yeah, really. Still 92% appreciation over that period is pretty amazing.
And then when we pair that up with some other things, well, let's just get into it, okay, because we could have put all of our money into a house in San Francisco. We could have also bought some hometown stocks. How did some other companies do within the Valley in the last 5 years?
Apple, Google, and Facebook were all good buys. Facebook, of course, we're dating from the IPO date in 2012, not 2011. But Apple stock is up 97%, Google stock is up 163%, and Facebook from their IPO, 174%. So, as we all know, these have been very, very good years for these humongous high-tech companies.
All right, let's say in 2011, it was the bottom of the housing market, flipping back to housing, and I did not have enough to put all cash down. How does it look if I put 20% down payment on a house in San Francisco in 2011?
Well, that's actually the secret behind buying a home as an investment, is that you can leverage it. You don't have to pay all cash for it. You put 20% down. Your monthly housing costs should be roughly similar to what you would pay if you were renting a house. But in the meantime, your cash investment goes up exponentially. So if you put down 20% in 2011 and you sold it in 2016, and if we deduct closing costs on the purchase and closing costs on the sale, you would have about a 339% return on your investment.
Whoa, 339%, which you gamed out the math. That's a $667,000 net sale proceeds from that. So that's incredible. Is this the miracle of compound interest at play?
It's a miracle of leverage.
Okay. Coming off the bottom in 2011, you ran numbers through 2016. Now, let's kind of macro tee up 2017, and I'm comfortable with that because of your long history of doing these number crunches in the Bay Area. How is 2017 just in a macro level looking for real estate?
In San Francisco and the Bay Area generally, we're looking at a continued normalization, cooling of what was an overheated market for years. The house market in San Francisco continues to perform better than the condo market simply because the supply of houses in the city is so constricted and is not growing. Well, on the condo side, thousands of new condos have been hitting the market as these new luxury condo projects have been being built over the last few years and are continuing to be built.
Okay, limited space. We're 7 by 7 square miles, limited inventory. Is San Francisco housing as close to a sure thing as you can get when it comes to investing?
I'm always uncomfortable predicting, and it all comes down to timing, ultimately, just like with any other investment. However, as a long-term investment that you're living in, it has a tendency to be a very, very good investment historically. And that's, again, because of the advantage of leverage. It's because of the advantage of getting a 30-year fixed-rate loan, mm-hmm. recently have been at historic lows. Mm-hmm. It's the advantage of inflation. As inflation goes up, your down payment goes up 5 times that amount. However, if you had bought at the peak of the market in 2007 and had to sell in 2009, that would have been very painful. However, if you bought it in 2007 and you continued to hold it through the downturn and back up through the upturn, you would have still ended up doing very, very well. Another advantage is if you're renting, typically your landlord is going to continue to put your rents up at market rent. If you purchased and you have a fixed rate loan, your housing costs basically stay stable while rents continue to increase.
Right.
And of course, if loan rates go down, you have the option to jump in and refinance. So in 2011, you would have bought at 4.5% loan rate, which was fantastic for then. But if you refinanced a couple years later, you would have gotten a loan at 3.5%. So you would have actually been reducing your monthly housing cost while market rents continue to climb. So that's another advantage of our investment scenario that we just gamed out, is that besides the investment return on your cash down payment, you, as time goes on, your monthly housing costs becomes less and less of a percentage of the market rate rent. If that's not too complicated, then.
No, I follow because you're locking in some things that normally would be floating with
that's
the
right.
market. So,
yeah, and last but not least, real estate in this country has unbelievable tax advantages.
Yeah.
Virtually in every which way you look. One of those, one of the advantages, of course, is you get to write off your interest and property taxes, which is one of the things that makes the housing cost equation work. But second of all, there's a capital gains exclusion for people selling their primary residence, if they've lived in it at least 2 of the last 5 years, where the first $250,000 of profit, if you're a single person, or the first $500,000 of profit, if you're a couple, is tax-free. That's an enormous advantage.
Yes.
Compared to owning stock or gold. When you sell those, you're going to pay your capital gains tax.
Well, as long as those policies stay in place, that's good moving forward.
That's a good caveat. We don't know exactly how tax law may get changed in the coming administration and coming Congress.
Okay, well, you mentioned the incentives of homeownership, and as it is right now, let's look at that. You and I have discussed on this show before that the first quarter of any year tends to be a slower period of home purchases. But I'm wondering, with mortgages teed up to kind of start crawling up a little bit, does that push first-time buyers into the market at odd times of the year?
It might. It'll be interesting to see what signals we get from the mortgage market. So interest rates went up from basically historic lows before the presidential election. It went up 22% through the end of the year, i.e. interest rates jumped quite a bit after the election results came in. Just this last week, it bumped back down a bit. If it looks like interest rates are heading definitively higher, we have two effects. One, you may well have buyers going, I better get in before interest rates go any higher. Because, of course, interest rates play an enormous role in that monthly cost of housing. On the other hand, if interest rates do jump up and a buyer has not jumped in ahead of time, of course, that's going to mean fewer and fewer people can actually afford to buy a home because, again, their monthly housing cost has gone up and qualifying the loan will be that much more difficult.
Well, we don't know what we don't know, right? So we'll just wait until
Amen.
We know. Patrick Carlisle, thank you very, very much for your time this week. Let's talk again soon.
Always a pleasure, Jason. Take care.
That was Patrick Carlisle. He's the chief analyst at Paragon Real Estate in San Francisco. For links to this and all of our segments, please check out the podcast page at kgoradio.com. And for a link to Patrick's full report, well, that lives on facebook.com/techonomicsradio. Maybe you'll give us a like while you're clicking on things over there.
This is what happens.
Coming up after the break, is 2017 the year when electric cars break out? More on that and a little more is coming up next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please come on back.